Well, pandemic or not, this is CDBG week here in Quincy and across the country. And we're joined by Sean Glennon and Melissa Warpons of the Quincy Planning Department to talk about events that are still happening, albeit virtually, for CDBG week. And Sean, Melissa, great to be able to chat with you remotely during this really unprecedented time. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Good morning, Joe.
Melissa, you're with us too, yes?
Yes, I'm here.
Great to see you both as well. Hopefully we can do it in person again really soon. But Sean, we should, I guess, start with just a little history lesson about what community development block grants are and what the week of this week is commemorating.
Right. Thanks, Joe. So CDBG is the Community Development Block Grant. It's a federal entitlement program administered by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. It existed since the mid-1970s. Quincy has been a recipient every year since. Our allocation past several years has been about $1.8 million, which is a lot of money. We're grateful for that. It's unfortunately about the same as it was in the late 1970s, believe it or not. And of course, the dollar went a lot further back then than it does now. But we certainly are, you know, grateful to have this funding, which helps, you know, so many people across the city. We fund community centers, we fund nonprofits, we do street and sidewalk projects. Anybody that's driven down Washington Street or Hancock Street in the past, you know, 6 months to a year have noticed, you know, resurfacing on those streets. CDBG paid for that. We also have a very robust housing rehabilitation program, which is very popular among our senior community. We offer 0% deferred loans to seniors to do anything from roof repair to siding, new windows, code violations for, you know, electrical work or plumbing, you know, you name it, the list goes on and on. It's a phenomenal program. And, you know, the list just goes on and on. It, you know, the demand is always more than what the allocation provides, which sort of leads to what CD Week is all about, that we celebrate, you know, the positive impacts that this program has, but also advocate to members of Congress and to members of our own community, just to illustrate that this program does exist and how important it is. And so CD Week is a chance that we should have Congressman Lynch to come out and either do a groundbreaking or ribbon cutting of a project. And Congressman Lynch has been amazing. He's such an incredible supporter of this program. And if this was a typical CD Week, if we were able to have the calendar that Melissa had put together, if we were able to do things in person, you know, it would have been a very robust calendar of events, and give Melissa a lot of credit for being able to change course a little bit. And now we have a digital platform that I know Melissa will talk about, but it's still really important under the circumstances to continue to celebrate CD Week because of some of the federal stimulus money that will be coming out that hopefully we can talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to do that. Where actually does the funding for community development grants come from in the federal government, Sean? How does that money get funneled into the program?
So it's a congressional appropriation to the HUD/transportation committee, essentially, a pool of money. And then from there, it gets funneled down through the HUD Boston office, through the Department of, or the Office of Community Planning and Development. And then it goes out to communities in the region. So it's basically, if you're a community of 50,000 or more in population, you're essentially entitled to receive the money. But it's not as if you just get, you know, the check. It's, you know, there's a lot of planning that goes into it every year. There's a 5-year plan that you have to initially start with, and then you do annual plans after that, as well as an annual report at the end of each year. So it's certainly a, you know, very labor-intensive program, but it's great program nonetheless.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this before, that a lot of small communities don't have yourself and Melissa and folks in the planning departments to be able to do, you know, those reports and submit those requests and then follow up with the reports. So here in Quincy, it's very fortunate that we do. And it also stresses the importance of the accurate census count this year.
Exactly right. And hopefully, I turn it over to Melissa to talk about that. That's, you know, one of the things we're focusing on this week.
Yeah, let's do that. Melissa, first, I guess I wanted to ask you, if there were no pandemic right now, what would be happening in Quincy for CD Week right now?
We had a lot of events lined up, and we were disappointed to see it fall apart. But at the same time, it's more important to focus on everybody's health, and we're happy to still change it over to a a virtual platform. We had planned activities at all our community centers. We had a program lined up for an intergenerational celebration to promote our Office of Healthy Homes new lead abatement program. And that was going to be a lot of fun. The kids were going to get to plant flowers and read stories about seeds and just have a lot of fun with grandparents or grandfriends. But here we are. Instead, we have an online platform this year, and we are just promoting the census. We're promoting online resources and getting out the message about the funding impact that we've had this year.
Yeah, and if you could go ahead and give out that website and some of the things that are available through it.
That's Quincy Community Development Week .weebly.com. And on that website, you can find a whole list of printables. We have CDBG Bingo, CDBG Word Search, crossword puzzles. We have some CDBG Quincy Play Money that you can print and play with the kids. And so that can be a lot of fun for those stay-at-home lessons for school. You can tie that in this week. There's also, we linked QATV's production of the Father Bill's play done by Eastern Nazarene College. We thought that was a great opportunity to share that. It's a 3-hour video, so it's a good use of time right now while people are home. And we also promoted our Office of Healthy Homes lead abatement program on that website as well.
Sure. I know there's some virtual coloring books I saw that looked like a lot of fun for kids. I'm sorry?
Coloring pages as well. Yep.
Yes. And also talking about the Hunger Network and ways to support that too.
Yes. So I'm currently chairing the South Shore Hunger Network. And we've been getting all of our food pantries on a weekly call. And making sure that we're doing everything we can to support them and each other. The food pantries are doing an amazing job staying open and feeding families. We have Interfaith, Salvation Army, QCAP's food pantry, as well as South Shore YMCA Germantown's pantry. And that's just for Quincy. And then the South Shore Hunger Network website, which is linked to our Quincy Community Development Week website, has all the information for all of the pantries. There's also links to the Greater Boston Food Bank's clickandcook.org, which is full of recipes. So that can be a lot of fun for families too as they stay at home.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of the census, Melissa, you know, how you're really urging folks here in Quincy to respond this year.
So April 1st was Census Day. And that's the day that you count who's living in your household on that day for this year's census. And the census shared with the National Community Development Association, which is the promoter and the organizer of Community Development Week, they shared with us that this would be a good week to help promote the census, to remind people to fill out that form and get that sent in either online or through the mail. And I believe that they are going to be coming out in June now. That's the proposed date. That could all change. But coming out in June to follow up with folks if they haven't filled that out. So everything is pretty fluid right now all across the board. So.
Right, yeah. I know the city clerk, Nicole Crispo, has been urging folks to respond. It's so critical to get over that 100,000 mark in population. Sean, is that entitle us to more potential CDBG funds in the future?
Yeah, so it's kind of a tricky one because growth is very important, but actually communities do better if I shouldn't say better, but the way the formula works, if they don't grow as fast as other communities, they actually get more money because a growing community is a sign of a very vibrant community. and so the theory is they shouldn't need as much CDBG funding because
uh-huh, it can't okay. do very well.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but that trigger would allow the city to apply for other types of funding that would have a threshold of 100,000 or more. So it remains to be seen how it would actually affect CDBG funding. But we think because of the way the formula works, the age of housing stock is a major component, and the city does have lots of older housing stock. So it'd still be very strong in receiving funding in the future.
Sure. What, I guess is on your kind of CDBG wish list for the future, Sean, what would you like to use the grant money for in Quincy in the future?
Well, as I mentioned, the need always outweighs what the allocation is. So, what we really promote is trying to get that funding back to a level, not a level platform, but to keep up really with the times. What's happened over the past, 40 plus years is that the number of grantee communities across the country has increased by 100%, but the national allocation has only increased by 50%.
Hmm.
So it's, it's better than zero,
right.
But it hasn't kept up with even the cost of living. So, what we'd like to see is that, the allocation be increased to, have some sort of COLA adjustment worked in, cost of living adjustments, that we are sort of on par as more communities come on, because that population keeps growing across the country. Mm-hmm. More and more communities are reaching that $50,000 threshold. There's more communities at trying to get a slice of that pie that's not really growing. So advocating for more funding so that we can do more streets and sidewalks, fund more public services activities like the Germantown Center Food Pantry, the Southwest Center Food Pantry that Melissa mentioned. Mm-hmm. We fund those on an annual basis, but not as much as we'd like to, because these public services programs have a 15% cap on the grant. So there's only so much we can do. If the allocation was larger, though, we could do more with that 15%. We could spend more towards our 15% threshold. But then there's always, streets and sidewalk projects. Folks probably don't know that we actually subsidize the Council on Aging's van transportation program.
Mm.
We could do potentially, more of that.
Okay. If
we had more funding. So lots of nonprofit projects, Manet Community Health Center is one that I wanted to mention because they have been in the news recently as a local nonprofit partner hero with the city in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Ledger article over the weekend was provided a glowing review of what Manet has been able to provide in partnership with the city, testing guests at the homeless shelter. They have a tent up at the North Quincy site, a drive-through testing facility. They've just been phenomenal. They have three sites in Quincy, Joe, as you know. And what I'm sure a lot of folks don't know is that it was the CDBG program back in 1978 that paid for the construction of their House Neck location, their founding site in House Neck. And granted, there were a lot of community fundraising events that went into it too. And the city provided some money from the general fund back then. But if it wasn't for the CDBG program, Manet Community Health Center wouldn't exist today. And I think that is really worth mentioning under these circumstances. A program that's existed for, over 45 years, a community center that is quite possibly the longest serving, continuously operating community health center funded by CDBG in the country.
Wow.
And that's because of the partnership that we've had and the city's investment in Manet since literally the very beginning in mm-hmm. the late 1970s. So again, the fact that we can use CDBG money to create community health centers, to rehab community health centers, we're not going to take all the credit for them now having five sites in three communities and having the tremendous staff that they do. They receive lots of money from other federal agencies now. But CDBG can be that seed money to get projects going. And that's really the strength and vitality of this program.
It's interesting, the things that you're talking about, that Melissa's talking about, the community health center, the food pantries, are all so critical and essential during this current pandemic, to be able to have those right here in Quincy at this particular time, I think shows and highlights their importance and the need to support them in non-pandemic times, because they have a regular clientele as well.
Exactly. And that really leads to our thankfulness to Congress that they did include CDBG in part of this $2 trillion stimulus that was signed by the president about 3 weeks ago. And so Quincy will be receiving $1.1 million in additional CDBG stimulus funds, which is great. There's actually going to be three waves of funding. So this initial wave was $1.1 million. It looks like the second wave will be going to the states to then allocate to communities that don't receive CDBG funding on a regular basis.
Okay.
And then there'll be a third round that comes out, we're assuming in the next 90 days or so, based on a new formula that HUD is creating now based on need. So we don't know what that formula looks like now, but based on Quincy's size, the fact that we do have an emergency shelter here, the fact that we do have a community health center here with three sites, I can't imagine we wouldn't be part of that third wave, but it remains to be seen what that will look like.
Okay, so again, the groundwork has already been laid. You know, the structure is present. It just needs to be funneled into it, basically, to support it.
Exactly. We're ready to go. So we know that $1.1 million has been allocated. We don't have the grant agreements yet, so we're still, you know, potentially a month away, hopefully not that long, from actually being able to, you know, execute the grant agreement with HUD for that money. But fortunately, under the program, they do allow communities to start incurring costs once the allocation is made. So we have... you've been working on the groundwork to try and put some plans together of what that could look like. And then once the grant agreement is executed, we'll move forward in working obviously with the mayor's office in terms of what we would spend the money on.
Sure. Melissa, we should ask you to chat about how you're actually promoting CDBG Week and how folks can participate in that.
Great. So nationally, there's a hashtag campaign, hashtag CDWeek2020. Every year that changes with the name of the year. But we are participating in that. And so every single post will have that hashtag, both on Twitter and on Facebook are where we're mostly catching that information. And I also see posts happening on LinkedIn as well, which is great. So like I said, we have the blog going up. We have daily posts featuring each of our CDBG partners. And so far this week, we've captured the story of how CDBG provides hunger relief funding by discussing our program with QCAP in the Southwest Community Food Center. Melinda Alexander, who's the food center coordinator, was actually our Mayor's Community Service Award recipient in 2014. And so that was great to remind folks of that. And yeah, last night we released a blog about our partnership with Father Bill's in Mainspring and how CDBG helps house or is part of the housing services for our veterans, for our homeless veterans.
Sure. Are you looking for folks to maybe share their personal stories about how funding for this program might have impacted their lives?
I would love to see those stories, Joe. If folks have them and they want to share them, that'd be great. If they tweet it with that hashtag, we would see it. Facebook is a little harder to see publicly. So if they want to share those stories, feel free to email them to me too at mhorr@quincyma.gov. And I'd be happy to share anybody's stories about how CDBG has helped them as part of our promotional campaign.
Okay, great. I know typically every year you do kind of recognize, you know, a CDGB person of the year, if you will, or person of the week. Is there a special recognition this year?
Yes, you know, Joe, because you were one of our award winners last year.
And if you look in the background, you'll see my award on the wall behind me, which I'm very proud of.
That is great.
We did talk about that. It doesn't feel the same. It feels like, you know, we'd lose that personal touch to try and do it sort of remotely. So I think we don't have somebody this year for that reason, and just doesn't have that sort of one-on-one recognition. So you actually, Joe, hold the title now for probably the longest serving recipient without a new recipient, you know, the next year of a recognition award, you and last year's honorees. So congratulations on that accomplishment. But we talked about, if there are some things we could try to reschedule from this week.
Right.
We talked about that, but now even in the spring, who knows, or the summer, depending on how long things go. So it looks like we're probably just going to transfer most of this week's activities to next year, unless things get better sooner, which would be great, but it's not looking like we'll have that opportunity this year.
Right. I mean, you know, this will be part of the history of this pandemic when the story is told, you know, years from now as to how it impacts things like this that traditionally happen. However, the response to it and the fact that it is still moving forward and still being recognized and is still viable. Anything else you think we should add?
Well, thank you, Joe, so much for your time and for highlighting the program. I felt like it was still very timely to promote, you know, the need is ever more great right now with the COVID crisis, for, you know, we have more people showing up at the food pantries. We have more people who are unemployed. So people are going to be seeking help from the organizations that CDBG has been funding over the years. And we are very fortunate that the CDBG CARES Act included, or the CDBG CARES is funding even more communities with extra funding. And we look forward to addressing the need with that moving forward.
Yeah, anything else, Sean? Yeah.
No, I think that you know, sums it up really well. I really appreciate the opportunity to do this, Joe. Like we said, we didn't want to let the week go by without, you know, having something to celebrate. You know, we really do. It's doesn't feel the same, but this really is, it's still an opportunity. It's really important that we do this to not only showcase the highlights, the successes we have had, but to encourage, you know, members of our community to support this program, and to just encourage our congressional members to keep at it and hopefully increase our allocations moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Melissa, if you could just one more time, the website and the other outreach through social media for CD Week this week.
Great. So the hashtag is #CDWeek2020. And the website is quincycommunitydevelopmentweek.weebly.com.
Great. Appreciate your time, both of you, and happy CD Week.
Likewise. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Take care.